Today's Shir Masechta Nozer Daf Nun Gimel. We will begin on Daf Nun Beis on the Beis, 8 lines from the bottom by Rav Machama. In our Mishnah, we learned that as the Mishnah identified the various tumas where a Nozer was exposed to that tumah, it's considered a tumah that causes him to forfeit the days of Naziris that he already counted, and all of the halachas that apply to another tameh. The halacha is that even though normally, if you have a quarter of a kav, a roiv a kav at tzomus of a person who's not alive, the halacha is that it has tumas oil. There's a special rule by nazir that is only tameh by chatzi kav, that the halachas that make a nazir tameh only are by a half a kav. So ask the Gemara, even though we've just said that these halachas do not apply by roiv a kav, it only applies by half a kav. Ask the Gemara, what about if you have a roiv atzomis, you have a quarter of a kav atzomis, but they're from the shedra ugagoilus, they're from the spinal column, or from the skull? Mai, what will be the halacha? And the Gemara explains the question. Kigtani, chatzi kav atzomis, when does the halacha dictate that you have to have a chatzi kav atzomis? Only from other parts of the body does the halacha require chatzikav atzomus. But when we speak about the chamiri that we've been learning in our shurim, that the tuma is more significant, that the halacha is that a shedra gagoilus give off independent tuma, no matter what their size is. So maybe there the halacha is afilu roiv kav atzomus. The halacha is that by the shedra gagoilus, even a quarter of a kav atzomus will make the nazir into tameh with all the dinim of a nazir tameh. Adama, the Mishnah said that the halacha is that the amount of bones has to be chatzi kav, and it makes a difference what type of bones. The halacha is that it should be that no matter what the halacha is, you always need a chatzi kav. So the Rishonim explain what the Gemara means to say is that the shedra ugagoilus, although they have a chumrus, but the chumrus of the shedra ugagoilus only apply when they're whole. Here we're talking about shedra ugagoilus that are not whole, obviously, because if they were whole, they would give off tumma. And since they're not whole, the question is, does the fact that they have that chumrum affect the din that you need a chatzikav, or are these two dinim, or do we look at the dinim separately? Amarava, Toshma, the Mishnah says that one of the cases where a nazir becomes a nazir tameh is shedra gagoilus. Visakadat chroiva tzomis, dosim shedra gagoilus chomer. They're going to say that the shedra gagoilus are so serious, their tumas so serious, that even a roiva of atzomis of the shedra gagoilus make tumma. Says the Gemara, listen, why didn't the Mishnah mention that chumra? Listen, a roiva atzomis mina shedra. Why didn't the Mishnah mention that chumra? The fact that the Mishnah didn't mention that chumra is clearly an indication that as much as shedra gagoilus are more significant when it comes to hilchos tuma than other parts of the dead body, it will not apply to the din of roiva atzamas, roiva kav atzamas, chatzi kav atzamas. Ask the Gemara, for Rava d'amalai nitzchel shedra gagoilus she'em ben roiva atzamas. Rava himself said that if you have a shedra gagoilus that don't have a roiva kav atzamas, the halacha is that they're not that Rava himself says that if the shedra gagoilus don't have a roiva kav atzomus, they don't give tumah. So we can't use the Mishnah to prove Rami Bachama's question, because even if we'll say that the roiva kav atzomus or shedra gagoilus don't give off tumas, we have to know that they do give off tumah when they're whole, even though they don't have a roiva kav atzomus. So what the Gemara means to say is that the fact that the Mishnah didn't mention it is not compelling. Because what the Mishnah means to say is that when you have a whole skull and you have a whole spine, there is tumah. And there you don't need a roiv kavat tzomus even. So that's why the Mishnah didn't speak about what happens when they're broken. It says, Marbas de Shem Rabbi Kiva. Indeed, Rava held that a shedra gagoilis are always a roiv kavat tzomus. Because once they're whole, they gave of tumah. But once we learned in our previous shiur, the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, that you could have a shedra of a gagoilis that don't even have a roiv kavat tzomus, because they come from a small body. So now our Mishnah is not a raya, is not an answer to our question. Because our Mishnah is coming to teach us that a roiva, that a shedra gagoyles give off tuma under all circumstances, no matter if there is how much they weigh. And therefore, the fact that the Mishnah didn't speak about the weight is irrelevant and not going to help us, is not going to help us answer the question that we've been trying to understand, what is the shear of broken shedrim or gagoyles bones? Toshma, a Gemara we learned in our previous shear, the Bryce in our previous shear quoted the opinion of Shammai, that Shammai etzem echem in a shedrim or gagoyles, even one bone of the shedrim or gagoyles give off tuma. So now the Gemara is assuming that even though the Rabbanan disagree with Shammai, and they hold that one bone of the shedra and the gagoilis don't give off tuma. You have to have roiv minyan or roiv binyan, most of the bones or most of the height. They are agreeing that the shedra and gagoilis tuma is a serious tuma. And the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara, that even when we have a machloikus and shas between different opinions, we try to limit the extreme of the machloikus. So to say that according to Shammai, even one bone of the shedra, of the spine, one bone of the gagoilus, of the skull gives off tuma, and the chachamim are going to require a chatzikav, is putting their positions in very extreme directions. Must be, says the Gemara, that even the Rabbanan, who are not prepared to be as machmir, not prepared to be as strict as Shammai, will obviously agree that if we have just a roiva kav, if we have just a roiva kav of atzamis, we will give off tuma, and you don't need to have a chatzi kav like you need from other bones. So the Rosh asks that how could the machloikus of Shammai and the Chachamim serve as a proof to the question that we're discussing? Rami Bachama is discussing what is the halacha regarding a nazir. Shammai and the Chachamim are not talking about a nazir. They're talking about tumas oil. So the machloikus are about different subjects. So how could the Gemara, even before the Gemara answers the question and says that this is not a raya, that this opinion of Shammai cannot serve as a raya, what the Chacham hold, and try even to bring a raya from Tumas Oil to Tumas Nazir. So the Brisk Rav explains that the way to understand Rami Bachama's question is how does Rami Bachama try to understand what is this halacha of Chatzi Kav? Is the halacha a special halacha that applies by a nazar? Is it a special halacha that a nazar has to have a chatzi kav of bones? And if there isn't a chatzi kav of bones, he won't be considered a nazar that's tameh. Or is the tuma of shedra gagoilus a very different tuma? And since it's a very different tuma, there the halacha roiva kav will be enough. Now that Shammai taught us that shedra of a gagoilus is a very different tumah, and even one bone of the shedra and gagoilus gives off tumah, so the Gemara explains the Brisk Rav is assuming that that's a raya, that shedra of a gagoilus is different than all other tumas. And yes, Shammai said that halacha regarding tumas oil, but that is a proof, suggests the Gemara, that that's the way we should look at the shedra gagoilus under all circumstances, even when we're speaking about roiva kav and chatzi kav. to which the Gemara says, you want to be able to answer Rami Bachama's question and say that we would be machmer even by a chatz, by a roiv kav, because Shammai shows us how strict the halacha looks at Shedr v'Galgailus, says the Gemara, Shani Shammai the Machmetai. You can't bring a raya from Shammai. Shammai is particularly machmer, as we learned regarding Shedr v'Galgailus, and therefore Shammai's approach to Shedr v'Galgailus cannot serve as a model how to teach or how to treat all other situations of Shedr v'Galgailus according to the Chachamim. Says the Gemara. So if that's the case, and we're saying we can't answer a question based on Shammai's opinion, because Shammai is particularly machmer, and we're saying the Rabbanon are not particularly machmer, so then we should be able to answer Rami Bachama's question and say, Lifshut Minot, Tamid the Shammai the machmer. Shammai is particularly machmer. Hol Rabbanon, the Rabbanon will hold that Adik Achatzi Kav Atzamas, that you have to have a Chatzi Kav. And if you don't have a chatzi kav, then it's not going to be different than anything else. Says the Gemara, that also is not necessarily the proper approach. For we can say, when did Rabbanon not agree with Shammai? When we have only one bone. That there Shammai is machmer, and the chacham manat. But when we have so much bones, ava b'roiv atzamas, maybe over there, I feel a Rabbanon Moedim. So the Gemara doesn't have an answer to the question that we began. What will be the halacha regarding Shedr v'Gagoylus? Is it a Chatzi Kav, like everything else? Or is it a Roiva Kav, because Shedr v'Gagoylus are different? We learned, as we started our shiur today, that in order for a Nazir to have to be considered a Nazir Tamei, for exposure to the bones of a nefter, you have to have a chatzi kav. The Mishnah Masechta Olos said, as we also mentioned in the shiur today, that as far as the halacha of tumas oil, the tumas oil of a nefter, there, if you have a roiva kav atzamis, will have tumas oil. Says the Gemara, there are many different opinions regarding this halacha. Amar Rabbi Elazar Zakenu Rishonim, some held that the halacha is that a chatzi kav atzamas and a half a loig dam of a mace atame, whether it refers to the halacha if somebody was exposed to that may eat or touch truma v'kotshim, whether it refers to the inyan to the subject of a nazir becoming a nazir tame, or whether it refers to the situation if somebody was exposed to this tumah that he can no longer bring the current Pesach on Pesach Rishon, he would have to wait for Pesach Sheni. Roiv Atzamas, when we speak about the halacha of Roiv Atzamas, Riyastam Loi Lekol, the halacha is if somebody is in the oil of a place where there's a Roiv Kav Atzamas or a Riyastam of a mace, the halacha is that he can eat Trum of a Kachim. He doesn't have to. He doesn't forfeit his naziris. He doesn't have to wait for Pesach Sheni. So the Mishnah in Masechtas Olos that says that this tumas oil by roiva kav atzamas clearly cannot follow this opinion. Are disagreeing with this opinion? There's a different opinion. Umktsasan hayoimer af roiva atzamas revius dam lekol, that the halacha is that always it's a quarter. It's always a roiva atzamas and revius dam. For all hilchis, all halachis of tumah, and that too is disputing the opinion of our Mishnah. Because as we've been learning in our shiur today, our Mishnah says that in order for Nazir to have to undo his naziris, you need a chatzi kav. And here, this opinion that we just studied says that a roiva kav will make that the Nazir loses his naziris. And now there's a third opinion, says the Gemara. Bezdin Shalach Reim, the third opinion holds, Chatzi Kav Atzamas, V'chatzi Loig Dam Lekol. For Truma and Kachim, the Loch is a Chatzi Dam. Roiv Atzamas, Revius Dam, L'Truma V'Kachim. The din of Roiv Atzamas is for somebody who wants to eat Truma and Kachim. Av Loilu Noz Vaisa Pesach. The Loch is that if somebody is in the oil of a roiva kavat samas. Or if somebody is on top, his body is on top of a roiva kavat samas, he'll be tamei for truma and v'kotshim, but not as far as Naziris is concerned. As far as Naziris is concerned, he won't be considered a Nazir Tomei. And similarly, even though he became Tomei, he's going to be allowed to bring his Korban Pesach and will not need to wait for Pesach Sheni. This opinion is consistent with what we learned in our Mishnah, that as far as Hilchas Nazir is concerned, you have to have a Chatzi Kavat Samas or you have to have a Chatzi Loig Dam. So, and the Mishnah Masecht Olos is talking about different subjects. It's talking about the halacha of regular oil for truma and kachim. Says the Gemara, from the fact that our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Masecht Olos follow this opinion, it seems that that's the opinion that is the accepted halachic opinion. Ask the Gemara, why is this considered the halachically accepted opinion? Michti en achroa shlishi machras. The Gemara quotes here a rule that yes, we often have machloikas and shas, but a machloikas and shas, and then you have a third opinion, is when the third opinion takes on parts of each of the previous opinions. But if the third opinion is an entirely new opinion, then that's not considered a machra. That's not considered like a compromise. Here, the first two opinions were not willing to accept that the halacha differentiates between the situation of a nazir and somebody bringing a korban pesach versus other areas of tumah. The only opinion that was willing to accept that approach is this new opinion that we just learned. That is not called Achra. Another approach, says Tosfos, what's pshat and ayin achra shlishim achras? He says if the later opinions were stated by Talmidim of earlier opinions, that's not an opinion that we have to follow, because we don't follow the opinion of a Talmud necessarily when he's arguing against his Rebbe. And therefore, just because this was a later opinion that was cited, the halacha is that we can't follow, that doesn't mean that we have to follow that opinion. Says the Gemara, Michti, ein achras shlishi machras. So says the Gemara. So if that's the case, why are we paskening like this opinion? Amar Rav Yaakov Idi, mishpi shmo amru, they're not paskening this way because it's considered achra, but rather that way they heard that this is mepi hashmura, that there was a mesoira, that there's a number of ways of learning the Gemara. One pshat is that they had a mesoira, that's the proper halacha. Or another way of learning is that Chagai Zechariah Malachai taught us that so is the halacha. And once Chagai Zechariah Malachai taught us that so is the halacha, that's why we pass in that way. We learned in the Mishnah, Aleilu Nozma Galeach, and the Mishnah said these words, Aleilu Nozma Galeach, twice. And the Gemara is assuming that whenever a Mishnah uses the word Elu, it means to say on these cases, and not to say here and not someone else. What does the Mishnah mean with that? Says the Gemara, Elu, when the Mishnah used these words in the Reisha, Lamuta Etzim Kusayra, to teach us the halacha by an etzkim saroi, that amagav amaso, if somebody touches a bone the size of a lentil, or carries a bone the size of a lentil, he will be tamei, and ein al aleiloloi. But there's no tumas oil when you just have an etzim kesoira. So Tosfos asks that the Mishnah teaches us explicitly that there is no tumah by etzim kesoira, by only maga masa, not oil. So why do we need al elu to teach us this when the Mishnah teaches us this halacha explicitly? So Tosfos says that this is the derech of shas. The derech of shas is to teach us something first, just allude to something, and then later to go into details. Ask the Gemara, al elu de seifa. What does the halacha of elu de seifa come to teach us? Lamuti evan zchuchas. If you have stones jutting out of a fence, and they're over a fetus, and they're sticking out over somebody who passes by, and there's tuma under one of those stones, and we don't know under which stone did the person walk under. Did he walk under the stone which is also over the dead, the thing that gives off tuma? The halacha is that is not a case that a nazir will forfeit his naziris. Even though midrabanan his tamei, it's a suffix tuma. The halacha is that we are makel. And again, Tosfos points out that even though we're going to learn in the Mishnah on the afternoon dalid this halacha explicitly, again the Mishnah here alludes to it, and then the Mishnah goes into details. We learned in our Mishnah v'chatzi kav atzomus, even though as we've been learning throughout our shiur today that a nazir does not become tamei when exposed to roiva kav atzomus, but when he's exposed to chatzi kav atzomus, if it causes him to become a nazir tamei. As says the Gemara, a chatzi kav atzomus in, only when there's a chatzi kav atzomus does the nazir forfeit his naziris roiva atzomus loy. Ask the Gemara, hechidami, exactly what is the case that the Mishnah is referring to? Ilema de ispanat somas kasaira, if there are amongst his bones a bone the size of a kasaira of a lentil, typically mishim etzakam saira. We learned in a Mishnah that a nazir, if he touches a bone the size of a saira, even if there's no roiva, the halach is that it forfeits his naziris, he becomes a nazir tamei. So, how could there be a case, asked the Gemara, that you'll have roiva atzamas and the nazir shouldn't become a nazir tamei? Why shouldn't he become a nazir tamei? He should become a nazir tamei because of the etzem kesaira that's in the roiva kav atzamas. Says the Gemara, Ella, it must be in the case the akmi ikmuchi, that the bones of the roiva kav, not only are they only a roiva kav, but they were completely dissolved, they were completely disintegrated, and therefore, since they're not, there is no etzem that's even the size of Saira, and we also don't have a chatzi kav atzamas, that's why the nazir is not tamei. We learned in the Mishnah that al eva min ameis vel eva min achai sheesh lam bosak rai, the halacha is that too is a case that the nazir, if the nazir is exposed to them, he's tamei. And what is the definition of Eva Menachai Sheesh Lam Basar Karayi? The halacha is that if there was so much flesh on an Eva, that there was enough flesh that would cause that Eva could regenerate, that's an Eva that will give off Tumah. But says the Gemara, Rem Ena Lam Basar Karayi, if there isn't enough flesh that could cause that regeneration, then the halacha is that he isn't Tumah. What will be Ein Alayim Raskaray Mai? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ein Hanozim Galayich Alayim. Rishlokish Amar Ein Hanozim Galayich Alayim. And the Gemara explains Machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ein Hanozim Galayich Alayim. Doktani Bereisha, because the Mishnah said in Daf Mem Tes Aleva Men Ameis Aleva Men Achai, and the Mishnah said explicitly Sheyesh Lam Kazayis Basar, that has a they have to have enough flesh on them to, if they regenerate, they'll give off tumah. In only then do they give off tumah that will cause the nazir to lose his naziris. If there's av'enalem, if there isn't that much flesh in them, then they don't give tumah. And there's not. And what's the question? Says the Gemara. So how does Rav Shimon ben Lakish, how does Rish Lakish disagree? It says, midlak tani b'seifa, that when we're going to learn the Mishnah Metzashem in the coming shir, on the afnun dalaram and aleph, which mentions all the cases that the nazir that does not lose his naziris, and this case was not mentioned, it's a proof that even if the nazir is exposed to aver that doesn't have this much flesh, the halacha is that if he touches or carries this aver, he will lose his naziris. So now the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan says that if there's not enough basar on this aver, the Nazir is not going to be considered a Nazir Tamei. But if that's the case, why indeed is it not mentioned in the coming Mishnah? Says the Gemara, Rav Yochanan Amaloch. Rav Yochanan says the reason it's not mentioned in the next Mishnah, because Hecha the Mishnah Beklala, anything that the Mishnah mentions, anything that we can learn from a Deek and the Reisha, like Tani B'Sefer. And therefore, since our Mishnah clearly says that only if the Aver has enough Basar that it can regenerate, does it give off Tumah, the Deek, that if it doesn't have that much flesh, it doesn't give off Tumah, is an obviously clear Deek, and therefore the Halacha is, it wasn't necessary for the Mishnah over there to say it, it's obvious that that is the Halacha. Says the Gemara, how could you say that? For our Mishnah said, Chatzi Kava Tzomis, that the Nazir is only considered a Nazir Tamei when he was exposed, Chatzi Kava Tzomis. What is that clearly teaching us? The Mashma Chatzi Kava Tzomis in, only when he's exposed to Chatzi Kava Tzomis is he considered a Nazir Tamei. Raiva Tzomis, as we've been learning in our Shia today, he will not be Tamei. But still, Tanim Sefer Roivat Thomas. But why was it necessary? Isn't it clear that that is the halacha from the way we learned our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara. Hasam, if not that the fact that the Mishnah over there spoke about the Roivat Thomas, Ilav Roivat Thomas, if not that the Mishnah expressly, and Dafnandala tells us the halacha of Roivat Thomas, Havamina Fila Magva Masaloi, that not only is a Roivat Thomas not give off Tumah to the Nazir to break his Naziris, even in a case where the Nazir touched or carried a Roivat Tzomis. A Roivat Tzomis is just not enough. That's why the Mishnah had to repeat the halacha of Roivat Tzomis. The reason the Mishnah had to repeat that halacha is to teach us when doesn't a Roivat Tzomis give off Tumah to make the Nazir into Nazir Tamei? That's only Al Eilon, who the Ein HaNazir Megaleich. If the Nazir is in the oil of a Roivat Tzomis, but if the Nazir were to touch or carry a Roivat Tzomis, then he would be Tamei. And that's why the next Mishnah had to speak about Halacha, not to have any misunderstanding what is or isn't Halacha by Roivat Tzomis. Ask the Gemara, what about the case of a chatzi loy dam, the shamet minah, that our Mishnah said a chatzi loy dam is what makes the nazir into a nazir tamei, chatzi dlag dam in, revius dam loy. And yet, the Mishnah on daf nun dalid, ketani b'sefer, revius dam is not going to make the nazir tamei. But why was it necessary for the Mishnah to say it? We're saying that anything that we could have learned from a Deek in the Reisha is not necessary to be said in the Sefer. Answers the Gemara Hossam, the reason that Halacha had to be stated in Daf Nun Dalid is Lafuki Mid Rabbi Akiva, to teach us that the Halacha is not like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that a nazir does become tamei when he's exposed to a revius dam from a mace. So our Mishnah wants to teach us, the Mishnah Daf Nun Dalid wants to teach us that we don't pass in like Rabbi Kiva, rather we pass in like Rabbi Lezer, and who holds that a Nazir doesn't become Tamei only when there's a Chatzi Loig Dam. Domer Rabbi Kiva, revius dam, Abba Mishnah Meisim, Rabbi Kiva's opinion is that revius dam is Metama Ba'oil. And therefore, the halacha is, that's why this halacha had to be repeated. Ask the Gemara, we spoke about the machloikis of Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish, of Avim and Ameis gives off Tumah, do you need to have flesh on it? How much flesh do you have to have? Hey Chidami, ask the Gemara, if it's an Avim from Ameis, ask the Gemara, either it's by Etzim Kusayra, if it's the size of an Etzim Kusayra, my time of the Rebbe. Yochanan, why would Rabbi Yochanan be lenient? Haven't we learned that everybody agrees that an Etzim Kusayra, gives off Tumah? Vida Lespe Kusayra, and if there isn't even an Etzim Kusayra, my time of the Resh Lokish. The Lokha is that a bone, that if it's an Aver, that it has no flesh on it. So what is its source? What is the reason it's Tumah? Because it's an Etzim. But if it's not an Etzim Kusayra, why would Resh Lokish say it's Tumah? Answers the Gemara, Amalach Resh Lakish, there's a new chiddush here. Loilam be'les be'etzem kasayra. This aver is very small. It's not even the size of an etzem kasayra. But there's a new tumah, says Rish Lakish. And that's called aver. And an aver min a mace, says Rish Lakish, gives off tumah, even though it doesn't have basar, and even though it's not the size of an etzem kasayra. We're learning that an etzem she'en lay basar, the halacha is giving off tumah. Says the Gemara, the Tanya, the Pasuk says, V'chol ha-shi'iga, the Pasuk says, this is halacha that speaks about tumas oil, tumas mess. The Pasuk says, V'chol ha-shi'iga p'nei ha-sada b'chal ha-cherev, o b'meis, o b'etzem odam, o b'kever. And the Gemara explains the various halachas we can learn from this Pasuk. Al p'nei sada z'amal al p'nei meis. The Torah doesn't just say, V'chol ha-shi'iga b'meis b'sada. The Torah doesn't just say, if somebody touches a mace. The Torah says, El apnei asada. The Torah is teaching us that you don't necessarily have to touch the mace to be tamei. If a person is mal on a mace that's out in the field, he's going to be tamei. So we see from here the halacha of tumas oil. So, continues the Gemara, since the first halacha that's stated in this pasuk is teaching us the halacha of tumas oil, so learns the Gemara that the other words that are taught in this pasuk are also here to teach us halachas regarding tumas oil. B'chalal ze'evim menachai yesh lahalas arucha. That if you have an evim menachai that has enough flesh on it, that if it were attached to the human body, it could regenerate. That gives off tumah. Then the Torah uses the word cherev to teach us cherev areza kecholol. The Gemara is teaching us that anything that touches the mace, any cherev that touches the mace is considered like the mace himself. We know that when we speak about hilchos tumah of a person who is not alive, the corpse itself is considered an avia avosa tumah. And it's probably the highest source of tumah that one can encounter. A person who comes in contact with a corpse is an avatumma. An avatumma is able to transmit tumah to people, to Adam v'kelim, by touching them. And what we're learning in our Gemara is that whereas other sources of tumah are only transmitting tumah through magu masa, touching and carrying, a corpse transmits tumah via oil. Somebody who comes in contact with a corpse, we know, is tummy for 7 days. He has to go through the process that on the third and the seventh day, he has to have the mechata sprinkle on him. The halacha, furthermore, as we've been learning, is that kahanim and the zirim are not allowed to come in contact with a mace, but they're not in contact. We've also learned that that's the only tumah the Torah warns a nazir and a kohen about. Contact with other sources of tumah doesn't affect the naziris, whereas contact with a corpse does forfeit the naziris, etc. Now we're learning that anything that comes in contact with a corpse has the same degree of tumah as the corpse itself. And that means that if a person were to touch the sword that touched the mace, that person becomes an avatumah. But there are many opinions of the Rishonim around this halacha. Rabbeinu Tam says that this new halacha that we've just learned applies only to clay matches. Other Rishonim say that it applies to any type of utensil, wood, clothing that touched the mace. Rabbeinu Tam says, regarding Hilchos Nazirim, he says that if a Nazir comes in contact with Kelim HaNoigim Emes, with things that touch a corpse, he is considered a Nazir that became Tomei. And therefore, he says, the Rishonim, in explaining Rabbeinu Tam's position, that Loch would be the same for a Kayin. A Kayin cannot come in contact with anything that touched a mace. Rabbeinu Chaim disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam,
and says that Kalim Hanoigim Emes does not affect the Naziris, that he should lose the Naziris. And furthermore, he says that even though Kahanim, of course, are not allowed to be exposed to Emes, then that halacha doesn't apply to Kalim that touched Emes. The Ran says that a utensil that touched a mace transmits tumma through contact only. There is no tumas oil on a keli hanageya b'mace. The Ramban says that although somebody who comes in contact with a keli that touched a mace is an avatumma, and he's tummy for 7 days, he is avatumma. He is tummy for 7 days, but says the Ramban, the halacha that he's going to have the mechatas sprinkled on him doesn't apply. Tosfos disagrees with Ramban, and Tosfos says that he's considered a full-fledged avatumah, and just like every other avatumah has to have the mechatas sprinkled on him, so too will this individual have to have the mechatas sprinkled on him in order to become tohor. Continues the Gemara in explaining the words of that pasuk. Over mace, ze'ever anechlam on a mace. We learn from here that if somebody came in contact with a full aver from a mace, that it has on it enough flesh that if it were connected to the human body when it was alive, it could regenerate. It gives off tumah. Over etzem, we learn from here the halacha that we've been discussing throughout our shiur today. The halacha of Raiva Atzamas, that the bones give off tumma only when you have a Raiva Kav Hatzamas. Oiba Kever is coming to teach us the halacha of Kever Sosim, that if somebody comes in contact over a grave that's completely covered up, even as we're going to discuss in our coming shiur, it comes in contact with that type of a Kever, the halacha is he's becoming that he's tamei. As we will discuss in our coming shiur in Mitzvah Shem, the halacha, however, does differentiate if between the nifter who's buried in this coffin, there is a tefach between him and the top of the coffin, or there is no tefach between him and the top of the kever have very serious ramifications as far as the halachas that we're going to be discussing. Our Gemara has been speaking again and again about an aver of a mace, and that an aver of a mace gives off tumah. There's interesting shaila, the Ravozna Tzal, the Shas Chuvas Shevet Alevi Chelik Yud Simresh Tes discusses. He speaks about we're learning an aver manachai gives off tumah. So according to that, if somebody unfortunately is ill and they're removing his heart, they're removing the heart of a Jew, then the halacha is that that heart is an evam and a chai, and it gives off tumah. And a kohen has to be careful not to come into the room where that evam is, not to come in contact with evam and a chai. The question that Rav Ozner Zatzal discusses, the halacha is that what happens if there was a Jew who needed a heart transplant, and they, Baruch Hashem, were able to find the heart, and the heart that they found was the heart of a non-Jew. Does the heart, and then that transplant, Rachman Otzlan, fails. And they're going to take out that heart. Do we say that since the heart came from a non-Jew, and non-Jews don't give off tumah, so then that heart won't give off tumah, or that heart was in a Jew. And once the heart was in a Jew, even though it wasn't the heart with which he was born, it will give off tumah. And Rav Ozner seems to take the position that since it wasn't a heart that started off in the body of a Jew, it's not the kind of aver that will give off tumah that a Kohanim have to be concerned about.